The Enduring Church of God presents Charles E. Bryce, bringing you a straightforward message on the abundant life and the good news of the kingdom of God.
Hello, everyone. When you watch world events unfolding on a daily basis, how much care, concern, and kindness do you see being exercised between people anywhere on the face of the earth? In all honesty, not that much. In some places and sometimes, you will see some care and concern exchanged between people, but all too little in actual fact. You hear instances of road rage, shootings in the workplace, and even in schools and colleges, abuse toward women and children, bullying in various circumstances and situations, and on and on and on. You know, true Christians live life differently than all of that. That is, of course, if they are true practicing Christians who walk the walk as well as talk the talk. And in some cases, so-called Christians just simply don't do that. They don't walk the walk. Rather, they just talk the talk, but never put Christianity into practice on a daily basis and in a practical way. Well, what about you and what about me? Do you stack up with what God's Word describes as Christianity? Let's take a check and see. Let's be honest about what we find in ourselves. Let's start by turning to Romans chapter 8 and verse 13. Romans chapter 8 and verse 13, Paul writes, "For if you live after the flesh, you shall die. But if you through the Spirit do mortify the deeds of the body, you shall live." In other words, crush the carnality and the mean-spiritedness that human nature produces in our lives. We mortify that. We get rid of that. We put it out. Verse 14, Romans 8, "For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons or the children of God." Led by the Holy Spirit. You know, that makes us completely different to the world. It sets us apart as doing things differently to the way the typical individual lives and does things. Not in a self-righteous way, but in a biblical godly way. Now, with that in mind, let's turn over to Galatians chapter 5 and verse 22 and read about the Holy Spirit and the fruits of the Spirit. As you know, we've been going through a series on this subject, and today we're going to go through the fifth fruit of the Spirit, which is gentleness. How much gentleness do you see around you? How much gentleness do you see in the world at large? How much gentleness do we have in our lives? Notice here it says in Galatians chapter 5 and verse 22, "But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, and gentleness." You know, this fifth fruit of the Spirit is one of the most important ones that shows up in a Christian's life as far as everyday conduct, personality, and decision-making. Some people actually think that gentleness is weakness. It means they're soft and sissy and a pushover. Do you know nothing could be further from the truth? Jesus Christ was gentle. He was perfect in every way. He was a powerful, masculine, strong man. He was a carpenter. He worked outside in the sun. He was very active. And yet, we read he was also very gentle. Let's turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 10. 2 Corinthians chapter 10. And notice what we read there about Jesus Christ. Paul himself wrote this, or said this, in 2 Corinthians 10. And it's been recorded in Scripture and been written right here for us. 2 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 1, "Now I, Paul, myself, beseech you by the meekness and gentleness of Christ, who in presence am base among you, but being absent, I'm bold toward you." But notice he refers to Jesus Christ as having meekness and gentleness. Yes, Jesus Christ was gentle. Oh, he could be very forceful when necessary. And he could be very strong in whatever situation he was in if it demanded that. But overall, he was kind. He was gentle. He was very, very affectionate. And he had compassion on others. He wasn't a bully. You know, you can be tough and rugged and strong and manly and still be gentle, tender, and mild when you need to and when you should be. Jesus Christ was. It doesn't mean you're a pushover. It doesn't mean that you run from trouble. No, you'll stand your ground and you'll have courage and you'll have strength, but you won't be aggressive and you won't be looking for trouble and you won't be picking a fight. And you won't be trying to settle violence with violence. Rather, you'll have a gentle approach, a mild, pleasant approach, one that is tender and caring and concerned and has the welfare of other people in mind in the way you conduct yourself and in the way you handle the situation. That is, if you are a true Christian. And that's the way I'll be if I'm a true Christian. And that's what I'm trying to be, and I hope you are. Gentleness is an unmistakable and undeniable fruit of God's Holy Spirit. The ability to be gentle, kind, and caring, even when faced with anger and pressure to be otherwise, lifts you above a typical kind of reaction that human beings make in the face of being pushed or pressured or mistreated. The typical reaction to that is, look, you were mean to me, I'll be mean back to you. You want to fight? You bet I'll fight. But a Christian doesn't react that way. True Christians will do unto others as they will have them do unto them. And that means the reaction will be one of measured gentleness and calmness and kindness. That's what the Bible very plainly says. Let's notice James chapter 3. It's not easy. The natural thing is to just lash out and to dish out whatever treatment you received. But if we're really going to be true Christians in word and deed instead of in name only, our conduct has got to change from what the typical reaction is to the reaction Jesus Christ always had, and that was the right reaction. And so often that involved gentleness and kindness, and patience, and pleasantness, and meekness. But it was also based on strength and on determination to do the right thing. Here in James chapter 3 and verse 14, the Apostle James brings all of this out. He says in James 3 and verse 14, "But if you have bitter envying and strife in your hearts, glory not and lie not against the truth." See, inside, and just fulminating and turning and chewing inside, that's a terrible attitude and condition to be in, bitter and full of envy and strife. Verse 15, James 3, "This wisdom descends not from above, but is earthy, sensual, and devilish. For where envying and strife is, there's confusion and an every evil work." But here's what we want to be like in verse 17 and 18. And of course, we can't be this way on our own. We have to have help from God, but he'll give us that help. He'll give us that help, and we'll learn to be this way and react this way. But the wisdom that is from above is first pure, then peaceable, gentle, easy to be entreated, full of mercy and good fruits, without partiality and without hypocrisy. And the fruit of righteousness is sown in peace of them that make peace. Isn't that wonderful? Willing to be entreated. That simply means willing to yield. Willing to change. Willing to apologize. Willing to forgive. Willing to back off, settle down. Not retaliate. Not get vengeance. Not get even. But be gentle. Promote peace. See, that's real Christianity. You like that? Am I like that? Are the people around you like that? Is this the way we handle problems that come up in our family, in our marriage, in our neighborhood, at work, on the road, at school, in college, wherever we are, whatever we might be doing, when tension and when trouble develops, do we get in the mix and stir it up and really make it worse? Or do we diffuse it and settle it down and calm it down by our calm demeanor and by our gentle conduct? What a wonderful thing if we'll only do that. Talk about letting our light shine so that others will see our good works and glorify our Father in heaven. That's certainly doing it. This fifth fruit will allow us to let our light shine wonderfully. We're willing to yield. We're not Mr. Tough Guy, just looking for any excuse or pretext to fight and be violent. You know, some women love to fight, and men love to fight, and they teach their children to fight, and they brag about it. And I've heard things like, if you want to fight, we'll fight, and I'll win and you'll lose. There'll be two licks passed. I'll hit you and you'll hit the ground, and strut around just looking for trouble. Well, that's not Christianity. That's carnality. That accomplishes nothing except bad, horrible pain, suffering, and even in some cases death, because people's temper get out of control and they'll pull a weapon and kill the other person who's involved in the altercation. We've been called to a better way of life. I mean, I know of cases where rage and trouble and hatred and tempers get involved among Christians, and you even have Christians harming other Christians, beating them up, killing them even, all the while saying, oh, I'm a Christian, or you're a Christian, oh, yeah, I'm a Christian, but then end up harming one another instead of settling down, letting God's Holy Spirit flow from God into them and out again, and the fruit of the Spirit called gentleness takes over, and the situation is settled peaceably, in a mature way, like children of God. That's what God wants us to do. That's the way He wants us to be. Peaceable, gentle, kind, caring, concerned. That's the way of life He's called us to. Who's willing to do that? Who's willing to be that way? Who's willing to handle trouble like that? That's being like Jesus Christ, and that's what we're called to be. That's what Christians mean. We are followers of Christ. Do we follow Him? Because that's the way He handled trouble. That's the way He handled situations. And if sometime He took strong action, it still did not involve hate and bitterness and vengeance. And it still did not harm others and cripple them or even injure them. He didn't do it that way, and we shouldn't either. We can be strong. We can stand our ground. We can be courageous and still be gentle. That makes you a bigger person than the one who's not being gentle and who's just throwing all caution to the wind and letting the emotions take over and just plunge in with all guns blazing, sometimes literally. Let's notice Isaiah chapter 40. Isaiah 40. What a wonderful example Isaiah brings out here in Isaiah chapter 40 and verse 10. God inspired this. This is the inspired word of God. It says here in Isaiah 40 and verse 10, behold, the Lord God will come with strong hand. See that? Strong hand. And we can too. He doesn't want us to be weak. He doesn't want us to be sissies. He doesn't want us to be softies. But He does want us to be gentle and kind and compassionate and tender-hearted. He is. Behold, the Lord God will come with strong hand, and His arm shall rule for Him. Behold, His reward is with them, and His work before Him. Now notice verse 11. He shall feed His flock like a shepherd. He shall gather the lambs with His arm, and carry them in His bosom, and shall gently lead those that are with young. Gently take care of the lambs. You know, you see a shepherd who has sheep, and there's a little lamb that might be in trouble, kind of wobbly and weak. He'll pick that little lamb up. He'll carry it to a safe, dry, warm place. He'll see to it that it gets enough to eat, and he'll care for that lamb until it gets back on its feet and it's strong again, and he'll exercise tremendous tenderness and gentleness. Well, that's the way Jesus Christ is toward his people, toward those who are trying to obey him and do what he says and be like him. And that's the way he wants us to be toward others as well. Our family members, our mates, our neighbors, our friends. Of course, you have some people that are just mean and hateful to the bone, and they're just going to run over whoever lets them run over them and take whatever advantage they're allowed to take. Well, God doesn't expect us to just stand by and see that happen. He expects us to stand our ground and to see that that doesn't happen. But there are ways to do it without resorting to violence. We can do that by just leaving and coming back another day when everything has calmed down. We can do that by getting in a safe place and calling the authorities and let them handle it in the right way without taking matters in our own hands. But through it all, we have to ask God to give us the right attitude and to help us react properly and not to descend to the level of the individual who's causing all the trouble and end up being a troublemaker ourselves. Instead, we come at it from the point of view of love and peace and concern and caring and gentleness and calmness. And we do that as a way of life. Those that we're in charge of and that we're responsible for, we lead them with gentleness. We nourish them. We care for those needs like God does for our needs. We have an attitude of kindness and gentleness. And you know what? That attitude will usually diffuse an otherwise volatile and hostile situation. Not in every case, because you might be dealing with an individual that's high on drugs or drunk or sick or out of their mind. You just need to move on out of there, if you possibly can, let the authorities handle it. But where you can make a difference, where you can settle things down, where you can not contribute to the hostility and raise the level to the point of outright dangerous actions, you should do that. And the way to do that is with an attitude of kindness and gentleness and caring and concern and being easily entreated and willing to yield until things settle down and clear minds begin to speak in a clear way to reach clear and good solutions. That's called being a peacemaker. That takes courage. That takes character. That comes from being led by God's Holy Spirit and bearing the fruits of the Holy Spirit, one of which is gentleness. Let's just notice 1 Thessalonians chapter 2. That takes a big man and big woman, character-wise. That takes a true Christian. That kind of shows who's a Christian and who isn't. That separates the talkers from the walkers. 1 Thessalonians chapter 2 and verse 7. 1 Thessalonians chapter 2 and verse 7. Look what Paul said here. But we were gentle among you, you brethren in Thessalonica. We were gentle among you. We weren't roughshod. We weren't harsh. We weren't bullies. We weren't tyrants. We didn't lord it over you. We didn't boss you around and push you around and take advantage of you. That's not Christian. That's wrong. That's devilish. That's just worldly. That's carnality. That's selfish. He said, we weren't that way. We were gentle among you, even as a nurse cherishes her children. A better translation is, even as a nursing mother cherishes her children. Isn't it beautiful to see a mother with her baby? She's so gentle with that baby. She's loving. She's concerned. She's caring. She's tender-hearted. She'll take care of that beautiful little child. That's the attitude God wants us to have. That's the attitude he has towards us. That's the attitude that a shepherd has who properly tends his sheep. Even as a mother cherishes her children. Verse 8, so being affectionately desirous of you, we were willing to have imparted unto you not the gospel of God only, but also our own souls, because you were dear unto us. You feel that way about other people? Yes, of course, about family members and friends, but also about people in general who are made in God's image. They may be going through troubled times. They may be having all kinds of frustrating circumstances they're having to deal with. But they may not be thinking straight. And they may fly off the handle and just do something rash or impulsive. If you then respond to that by flying off the handle and doing something impulsive and irrational, where is that going to lead? It's going to lead to big trouble and people are going to get hurt. But if you're bigger than that and you rise above that kind of situation and you respond with gentleness, with kindness, maybe even with firmness, but with tender, loving care, you speak softly and calmly, you lower the rhetoric, you can do a lot of good for a lot of people. How often do we see in the news where there will be sporting events and somebody will get mad at the umpire or mad at the referee and their emotions will rise to the level of anger and they'll even begin to yell obscenities and threats. And then when they get a chance, they'll start fighting in the stands or even spilling out over onto the field or the basketball court and fighting there. And you'll see parents attacking coaches and so on and so forth. It's so hideous. It's so horrendous. It's so horrible. And in some cases, people even get killed. Oh, yeah, next day or the next week, everybody's sorry about it, but it's too late. Somebody's dead and somebody else is going to jail for the rest of their life because their reaction was not one of gentleness, maturity, kindness. It was one of rage and hate, and it was not Christian. And the results were horrible. We want to make sure we don't get pulled into that kind of reaction, pulled into that kind of attitude or conduct. And the way to do that is to stay close to God, ask Him to give us His Holy Spirit, and then let God's Spirit flow from Him through us out to others in the form of the 9 fruits of the Spirit and in the form of gentleness, the 5th one that we're talking about today. Here's another scripture that really clearly describes what I'm speaking about in this matter of how we react to touchy and dangerous and sometimes very volatile situations. Let's turn to Proverbs chapter 15. Proverbs chapter 15. Now, this is not easy to do, but God will help you do it, and if you start doing it, you'll be amazed at the results you get. It says in Proverbs chapter 15 and verse 1. Notice Proverbs 15 and verse 1. A soft answer turns away wrath, but grievous words or harsh words stir up anger. Isn't that a wonderful verse? That just really describes it perfectly. If there's already harsh words being thrown around, and then you jump in and throw around harsh words, it's going to stir it up to where there's going to be big trouble. But if you step in with a soft answer, you can turn away wrath. You can diffuse the situation. You can settle things down. The emotions will subside. Maturity will then begin to surface, and it can turn out really well instead of really, really bad. And it can all start going in the right direction by you answering with a soft answer, being kind, being mild, gentle, instead of harsh, hateful, and mean. Do we have the gumption, the guts, the courage, the love, the depth of Christianity in us to be that way? I hope so. If not, let's see if we can grow and develop that. And we can if we pray to God about it, if we study His Word, and if we use His Holy Spirit and get out of the way and let God develop the fruits of His Spirit in our lives. See, we're talking about graduate level Christianity here. We're talking about true Christianity. Not a bunch of babbling and emotion and jumping around and hollering and sounding good and looking good and seeming so spiritual. But when the rubber hits the road and real events began to develop, we all just fall apart and end up just being like everyone else, selfish, carnal, and mean and hateful. God is not pleased with that, and that's not the way to enter into eternal life. That's not the way to receive the reward and the glory of eternal life that God wants to give us if we obey Him and do things His way and not our way. And if we exercise gentleness when it's called for. Let's turn to Titus chapter 3. Titus chapter 3. Here we see the qualities of a new man in Christ. than a new woman. And even children. Children need to learn this principle and this quality and this practice of being gentle. Titus chapter 3 and verse 2. To speak evil of no man. There's no need to be talking about people to their back, to gossip and murmur and put them down and ruin their reputation. My mother used to tell us, and there were 9 children, I was the youngest of 9, and she'd say, if you can't say something good about anybody, just don't say anything at all. And that's a really good rule to follow, generally speaking. To speak evil of no man, to be no brawlers, fighting and being violent and using fisticuffs, that doesn't solve anything. It makes it all worse in the long run. It'll go from fist to knives to guns to injury and even death sometime. For what? It's not worth it. To speak evil of no man, to be no brawlers, but gentle, showing all meekness unto all men. For we ourselves also were sometimes foolish, disobedient, deceived, serving diverse lusts and pleasures, living in malice and envy and hateful and hating one another. What a horrible way to live. We've all had to repent of that and change that. And the happiness and the joy and the abundant life that that change of attitude brings is almost beyond description. You ought to try it if you haven't. You will like it. So here we read about the qualities of a new man or woman in Christ, and you see gentleness there in verse 2. You know, we live in a very dangerous, perilous time. All of that would be changed if we would recapture the true Christian value of gentleness and kindness and tenderheartedness, being tenderhearted. Suppose leaders of nations began to practice that. What a difference it would make. There'd be no more international bullying among people, among nations, and among countries. There'd be cooperation, there would be concern, there would be peace, because there would be the attitude of being easily entreated. There would be the practice of caring and concern and gentleness. And in a few places on this globe where you see some action like that by some leaders, you see the good results it brings. Finally, let's notice Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 29. This is a wonderful passage of Scripture here. It's a good checklist of Christian conduct and values. How do we stack up with this checklist here? Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 29. Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth. All the filthiness and the vile language and the horrible, dirty words and blasphemous things that people say, that disrespects Almighty God as well as disrespecting others. If we're going to be true Christians, we clean our language up and we speak pure, clean things. It says that right here in verse 29 of Ephesians chapter 4. Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use of edifying, that it may minister grace unto the hearers. And grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby you are sealed unto the day of redemption. Don't dilute God's Holy Spirit and negate it and render it useless by simply overriding and drowning out the fruits of the Spirit. Give them free course to bloom and blossom into a wonderful crop in your life, and God will help you do that if you ask Him to. Notice verse 31. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice, and be you kind to one another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as God, for Christ's sake, has forgiven you. That adds up to gentleness, and that is a tremendous checklist to kind of size yourself up by and see how you stack up with it on a daily basis. If you do that, you're going to find that right at the heart of it is the fifth fruit of the Holy Spirit, and that fruit is gentleness, and that comes from being led by God's Holy Spirit. And that then means that you are a Christian living the life of a Christian, walking the walk and not just talking the talk. May God help all of us to grow and develop in that kind of life. and in being kind and concerned and caring and tender-hearted and full of gentleness in our approach and in our action and interaction with others as we live our life in today's world, and especially to consider our families, our mates in our marriage, and our children and our loved ones. But not just them, all others as well, because Christ makes it plain in His Word. He says we are to love God with all of our heart, mind, and soul, and we're to love our neighbor as ourself, and that's going to involve a gentle approach and attitude. Please request our free CDs on the traditional family, and also ask for Christianity and Marriage. You'll find both of these CDs very, very helpful. There's no charge. There's no obligation. We'll send them to you right away, and there'll be no follow-up. All you have to do is call 1-800-581-1317. And also request our magazine, Straightforward. It's free. There's no cost to you. We'll send it to you as well. 1-800-581-1317 is the number to call and give us your request. Or you can go to our website at straightforward.org and send your request that way. That's straightforward.org. Until next time, this is Charles Bryce with the Enduring Church of God.
For more information, you may write to Enduring Church of God, P.O. Box 1317, Chandler, Texas, 75758, or visit our website at straightforward.org.